Well, welcome on this bank holiday weekend. It's lovely to have your company. And I've got Jackie from Calverley who's come to help me this morning. So this morning is the 11th Sunday after Trinity. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and
And
our
our
mouths
mouths
shall
shall
proclaim
proclaim
your
your
praise.
praise.
Let your ways be known upon earth, your
Your saving
saving power
power
among
among
the
the
nations. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him
forever.
forever.
Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him
forever.
forever.
Bless the Lord, all people on earth. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him forever.
forever. O people of God, bless the Lord. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him
forever.
forever.
Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord. Sing
Sing his
his praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him forever.
forever. Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart. Bless
Bless
the
the Father,
Father, the
the
Son,
Son,
and
and
the
the
Holy
Holy
Spirit. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him forever.
forever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And the first reading is from Hebrews chapter 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 112. Alleluia! Blessed are those who fear the Lord and have great delight in his commandments. Their
Their
descendants
descendants
will
will
be
be
mighty
mighty
in
in
the
the
land.
land.
A
A
generation
generation
of
of
the
the
faithful
faithful
will
will
be
be
blessed.
blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness endures forever.
Light
Light shines
shines
in
in
the
the
darkness
darkness
for
for
the
the
upright.
upright.
Gracious
Gracious
and
and
full
full
of
of
compassion
compassion
are
are
the
the righteous.
righteous. It goes well with those who are generous in lending and order their affairs with justice, for
For
they
they
will
will
never
never
be shaken. The
The
righteous
righteous
will
will
be
be
held
held
in
in
everlasting
everlasting remembrance.
remembrance. They will not be afraid of any evil tidings. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their
Their
heart
heart
is
is sustained
sustained and
and
will
will
not
not
fear
fear
until
until
they
they
see
see
the
the
downfall
downfall
of
of
their
their
foes.
foes.
They have given freely to the poor. Their righteousness stands fast forever. Their head will be exalted with honor. The
The wicked
wicked shall
shall
see
see
it
it
and
and
be
be
angry.
angry.
They shall gnash their teeth in despair. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And the second reading is taken from Luke chapter 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. And when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As I think I have said several times before, and as you can probably tell just by looking at me, I love mealtimes. By mealtimes, I mean proper sit-down meals around the table. No telly, no phones, no distractions, just good conversation that starts with one thing and veers off in all sorts of strange and complicated directions. When my children were growing up, I insisted on it. They found it really, really irritating. They said it was weird. They told me none of their friends had to do it, but we did it. It was additionally embarrassing, apparently, because we had napkins. In fact, I think it is probably one of my few top parenting achievements. If they hadn't told me that they weren't going to be in for supper before I left for work in the morning, I insisted that they came back for a sit-down meal, regardless of where they were or who they were with. As you can imagine, I was extremely popular at times. I remember one of those highly charged conversations with my teenage daughter, who was full of indignation. We were having a roast and I insisted that she was there. She asked me why I couldn't be more like her friends' parents, because they have roasts and they have a freezer and microwave in their bedrooms. So when they want a meal, and you can get frozen roasts, you know, they can just get one from the freezer. They don't even have to get out of bed. Well, each to his or her own. I know, but reading through the Gospels, especially Luke, you cannot help but realise how much Jesus liked mealtimes too. He was constantly being asked out to dinner, even though he wasn't exactly known for his politeness or his etiquette. When Jesus went out to dinner, something invariably was said or done, which would cause a reaction. He let a woman whose reputation wasn't exactly squeaky clean to come and caress his feet with oil. He got up from a meal to heal people who were ill. He chose to eat and drink with the dregs of society and seemed to enjoy it. In fact, he was even described as being a glutton and a drunkard. And he said things that were shocking. He was blunt. He didn't mince his words. I'm not sure he was always the most affable guest. Our reading from Luke this week describes such a dinner party. Jesus had been invited for a meal at the house of an important Pharisee. Luke tells us that Jesus is being watched. He's under scrutiny. However, Jesus is watching them as well. Jesus watches as the other guests scrabble about, trying to grab the best seats, the places of honor. Can you imagine it? I can. All those people, all the men, trying to get the seat nearest the rich and famous, nearest their host. In Jesus' time, the world of the Roman Empire, social status was very important. It underpinned everything. If you sat next to the host, you could bask in his reflected glory. The seating arrangements were important. If you were presumptuous enough to take a seat that was above your station, you might hope that you would be allowed to stay there and therefore acquire a leg up the social ladder. It was worth taking the risk. Additionally, social invitations were loaded with obligations. If you were invited to a meal, it was an expectation that the invitation would be quickly reciprocated. There were always strings attached. Obviously, the rich and powerful would never invite the poor and lowly to a meal because they would never be able to reciprocate. And even worse, inviting people of lower social status would harm the reputation of the host, and it would be a completely wasted invitation. It was fraught. And 2,000 years later, the rules and expectations of dinner party etiquette probably still are in certain quarters. And so Jesus tells a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, he exhorts his fellow guests. Go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. If that isn't countercultural enough, Jesus then turns to his host and continues, when you give a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, then you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. I have no idea how the guests or the host reacted to Jesus' story. Did they realize he was talking about them, or did they think it applied to someone else? Or were they shocked? Was it an awkward moment? And how do I react to such a story? Does it make me feel a tiny weeny bit awkward? I can imagine the scene, all that embarrassing self-promotion, and I know it's wrong. But I also know that what Jesus is asking, and it doesn't come easily. Being genuinely, honestly humble is not always easy. Jesus is asking us not to promote ourselves or big ourselves up, or be overly impressed by people with money or big houses, fancy cars, strings of letters after their name, people of influence, people who would be good to know, people who can do me favors, with whom I can network. Jesus is asking me and you and those gathered round the tables at the Pharisee's house to open up our lives, our churches, and our homes to those who can do nothing for us in return. And he's not just asking, he's insisting upon it. This great role reversal is the sign that the kingdom of God is here. We don't need to anxiously try and grab the best seats because there are plenty for everyone. And they're all good, and they're all first class, and they're all five star. And we don't have to worry about promoting ourselves because we're already welcome. We're already loved and we're already known. We take our example from Jesus, who humbled himself. As Paul's letter to the Philippians said, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and dies a criminal's death on the cross. Everyone is welcome to the feast at Jesus' table. No one is excluded. Issuing wedding invitations and doing a table plan is fraught and really, really tricky. I expect, like me, you've had some experience of this. It's very difficult to get it right. It's so easy to offend people by putting them on the wrong table with the wrong people. And Robert and I often talk about this. When we both married the first time round, we were both lucky enough to have pretty posh receptions. Robert's was at the Grand Hotel Eastbourne, and mine was at the Saunton Sands Hotel, North Devon. You see, I told you, proper posh. But the thing is, lovely though they were, and I suspect in many ways you couldn't get much better, we neither of us enjoyed them as much as we enjoyed our wedding day. We decided that we would prefer to elope, although my children would never have forgiven me, if we couldn't invite absolutely everyone to gather with us and share in our joy. We wanted everyone to know that they were included and welcomed because everyone is special. And in a very tiny way, that is a picture of the kingdom of God. When we gather at God's table, we are not like the tea party in Alice in Wonderland. Do you remember the scene? The Mad Hatter and the March Hare and the Dormouse are sitting scrunched up at one end of an enormous tea table. When Alice approaches the Hatter and the Hare, they wave Alice away and tell her that there is no room, no room. In fact, there was plenty of room. At that point, any other character but Alice might have gone away. But Alice, being Alice, could see that there was plenty of room, and so she sat down. I wonder how many times we have waved people away from God's table by being in our own holy huddle, scrunched together at the end, instead of welcoming others to join in. I'm not sure that Jesus thinks our table manners are that important, but he does think our manners at God's table are. Where we choose to sit speaks volumes, as does who we choose to mix with. Jesus asks us to value the poor and to value those who cannot give anything in return. As Jesus reminds the guests at the dinner party, you never know. You may be sitting next to an angel. Amen.
Amen. And now we move on to our intercessions. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ who face hardship and persecution day by day. Surround them with your love. Guard and keep them, we pray. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We pray for the troubled nations of the world and for men, women, and children whose lives are threatened by war and political unrest, by poverty and injustice, by famine and natural disaster. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for all whose lives and livelihood are threatened by the continuing pandemic in every corner of your world. We pray for those who care for the sick with inadequate resources, for scientists and researchers seeking effective treatments, and for those in positions of authority, that they may have wisdom to make right judgments for the good of all. Everlasting Father,
hear our prayer.
We lift to you, O God, those known to us who stand in need of your healing today. And we pray especially for Jack, Jen, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, Helen, John, and Bob. Be close to them, we pray, to all who suffer. Bring them hope and bring them healing by the power of your Spirit. Everlasting God,
hear our prayer.
We remember with thanksgiving all whom we love but see no longer, and those who have died recently, especially Jennifer Rowlandson, Frances Luxton, Barbara Tapp, and Graham Webber. We pray for their families and friends and ask your comfort and consolation for them and all who mourn. Everlasting God,
hear
our prayer. And the collect for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your mighty power, most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Jackie. Thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem.
We hope you have a great bank holiday weekend and manage to do some good things. And hope to see you next week, same time, same place. And God bless you all. Thank you for your company.